This week on Art of the Air, we feature abstract expressionist artist Jenny Scott about her current exhibit at Lebesnik Center for the Arts and in October at the Village Gallery. Next, Chicago-based blues rock guitarist Keith Scott sharing his original music. Our spotlight is on Art Barn's 6th Annual Art Blitz coming September 17th and 18th with Amy Navratakis.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight. She's going to be talking about the 6th Annual Art Blitz, which is at the Art Barn on September 17th and 18th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's located at the Art Barn School of Art in Valparaiso. Please welcome the Executive Director, Amy Navratakis. Welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good. Hello.
So tell us about Art Blitz. For anyone who just hasn't been there, I've been there the last several years. What is Art Blitz?
So Art Blitz is our fall festival, and we have art exhibitors, we have a live stage with music, sometimes dancers, and this year we're going to have a little magic on stage. Yay! It's going to be great, really. I'm kind of excited about it.
Who's the magician?
Yeah, his name is Richard Littlefield. So I haven't heard of him, but he evidently had quite a few bookings. You know, he's had a lot of bookings, so I've got
it. Exciting.
I'm confident that he's going to be good. And let's see, beyond the exhibitors and the live music, we're also going to have some food vendors that we're very excited about. And we also have a ton of activities that are going to be interactive. So there's going to be a collaborative mural that we're going to be working on, and a lot of other just things that people can participate in.
So. Will it be a freestanding mural or against the building?
Against the building.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. So we've got a cow mural, a sunflower mural, and now we have a chicken mural that we did last year. And so this one I think is going to be a butterfly. So.
Oh, sweet. What about demonstrations? Are some of the artists going to be demonstrating their work?
Yeah, there's a lot of artists that are going to be demonstrating. So we're going to have everything from ceramic arts. There'll be some wheel throwing demonstrations and hopefully some hand building demonstrations. I believe our weavers are going to return again. So they kind of show that roving process and spinning and all that. And, you know, then we have someone's going to be doing a pastel demonstration, watercolor. So there's a lot of different variety of different things that you can, you know, kind of watch in action.
Is there still space available to get a booth?
It actually closed, it closed in mid-August. So the exhibitor registration is closed, but, we can definitely, if someone's interested, they can definitely get in touch with Art Barn and we can, you know, make sure they get a notification next year.
Excellent. So what entertainment do you have coming this time?
So in addition to our magician, we have the Northwest Indiana Symphony Youth Orchestra is going to be coming to perform. They're actually our first lineup on Saturday. And then the Hoosier Recruits, they are a great band that plays with the Old Time Dance Society. So they play a lot of old time music. Then we also have Premier Performance, which is like a dance performance group. And they were very dynamic and great last year. So we're excited about them as well. So that's we also have a musician named Phil Stewart, who's going to be performing as well. So he does a little bit of, you know, kind of Johnny Cash inspired, Elvis inspired Clapton. So I'm really excited to have him on board. It's a new artist. So
are the sunflowers in bloom?
The sunflowers are in bloom. No. So yeah.
So that's part of it. And what's the admission cost?
Admission is free. So it's entirely free to get in. And then some of the activities are available for, like, you can purchase tickets to do certain activities. So some activities are a little more than others, but there are certainly demonstrations and things like that that are completely free to participate. And I make sure that there's are some things that if someone wants to come to the festival, they can participate completely free.
Are there any artists that you can name that are exhibiting?
I can. So we've got a ceramic artist. Her name is Louise Amundsen. She participated in our juried art exhibition. So we're kind of excited to have her back. Her pottery is very, a lot of it's very whimsical. We've got Lori Carpenter, who's a wonderful painter. Miranda Heward, Dennis Jameson, Michelle Buziak, and let's see, I just heard that Ronald Steck, who was our Best of Show winner at our juried art exhibition, is going to be with us. So we're excited about that.
And what kind of food do you have? Because you have an outdoor festival, you have to have food.
Yeah. So this place called Anomaly is going to have soul food. Their jerk chicken is so good. And they've been with us for the last 3 years. So they're great. They come in and they barbecue stuff and it's fantastic. Then we also have Takoyos. I've heard really great things about them too. I heard their food's delicious. So they're going to be here this weekend.
Very good. Hey, we've got about a minute left. I saw your fall brochure come out real quick. So tell us just a few things about classes coming up.
Yeah, our fall session officially starts right around October 1st. So we have all kinds of different offerings for all different ages. And we have, some amazing guest artist workshops coming up. A watercolor workshop with Ritindra Das is going to be on September 29th through October 1st. So it's a multi-day intensive. So if you want to check our website, we've got all kinds of information about that and our other classes that are going on. So fall is our most robust session.
Right. And it's a beautiful place to go if you haven't been there, the Art Barn, which is located 695 North 400 East in Valparaiso. Like I say, a little bit south of Route 6 on 400 East. That's Art Blitz. It's the sixth annual Art Blitz, by the way, September 17th, 18th from 11 to 5 p.m. You can go to artbarnschool.org to find out more information. Amy, thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air Spotlight.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah, always good to catch up with you, Amy. Thank you.
Yeah, you too, Esther. Thanks.
And a quick Art in the Air extra, Hoosier Star will be back on Sunday, September 7th at 7 p.m. at the LaPorte Civic Auditorium in LaPorte, Indiana, under the direction of Dr. Carolyn Watson.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
This is Pledge Week for your public radio station, and Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge, so we may continue to bring you this great program. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art in the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
We would like to welcome Jenny Scott to Art on the Air. Jenny is an abstract expressionist action painter and has been a professional artist for most of her life. Her paintings express what is invisible and visible as the energy force with in the painting. Jenny has been awarded first prizes and honorable mentions in many exhibits. Rumor has it she's also a bass player. Thank you, Jenny, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome. It is so terrific to see you.
Aloha and welcome to you too, and thank you for having me.
Well, Jenny, we always like to have our guests tell us a little bit about their background, I call it their origin story and how you got there. In other words, like I like to say, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
Well, let's see. I grew up in the New York area in Westchester County and went to school in Westchester County. I actually started painting in my late teens and continued on. I graduated Iona College in New Rochelle, New York, and moved to Florida with my ex-husband and ended up at Barry University for my master's in social work. All during that time, I painted. So I was very busy. I was exhibiting, going to school, and finally got a job with the Diocese of Palm Beach as director of their residential treatment program. So I taught art to the kids that were in the residential treatment program. I exhibited in Florida, not a whole lot, but quite a bit, and ended up, because my son Keith had moved to Chicago, bass player. I moved to Chicago. Dreams of being in a band and playing bass. All the time, painting. So when I moved to Chicago, of course, I had to earn a living. And I was director again of an independent treatment program. Painted constantly and also played bass guitar in a band. So as we move along in time, I ended up in Indiana. I relocated. I wanted more land, more property, and I wanted a studio. So when I moved here, I have my studio in my home and then pursued my art really, really seriously and joined various groups. I'm a juried member of the Area Artist Group of the Lubezik Center for the Arts. I'm a juried member of Northern Indiana Artists out of South Bend. And since my time here, I have exhibited widely throughout the Midwest. And so it's been very, very exciting. Just to back up, my childhood was really great growing up. My parents encouraged me whatever I wanted to do. I painted. I actually remember the time I did this huge canvas on the floor in my bedroom, and I painted the rugs also. So, yeah, I mean, I did. And I like to paint on walls, so I paint on the walls and I paint on the rugs. And I'm just backing up to give you a little history of that.
I was going to take you back there anyway. So did you start painting intuitively, or what was your high school? Because you said you started painting in like high school. So what were those classes like? And did it happen at school, or did you just start painting at home?
No, I don't know how to exactly describe it. I am an intuitive painter. I visualize color. I visualize what I'm going to do, and I get a feeling to paint. I did study with two very well-known artists, Harriet Fabland, when I lived in New York, and Alton Toby. And I exhibited throughout the New York area with the Fabland group. And I was represented by a gallery in Dobbs Ferry, New York, called Summerfield Gallery. And she's very well known internationally. And I did, it wasn't exactly lessons. So she's an abstract painter too, but we did more techniques and just doing other kinds of different work to express yourself, which was very helpful. And while I was in New York, I was juried into Artist Equity in New York, and I was a member of Artist Equity for a long time until I moved. So that's kind of how I painted. I really did not have classical painting training. I'm self-taught, intuitively taught. I just don't know how to put it. It's somehow I sort of know to paint. I just don't know how to explain it. But I do see a painting in my mind, and I will see color, and I put it to canvas.
What does it feel like to know when the painting is complete then?
I know when the painting is complete, when it makes sense to me. It has to make sense. You have to know, you can't just paint abstractly, randomly. That's not the point. Even Jackson Pollock didn't paint totally randomly. You have to have balance. You have to have structure. You have to know what fits and what works. Otherwise, what you get is something really sloppy. So you have to really know what you're doing. You have to have a sense of something. When the painting is, when it makes sense to me and I look at it and I say, you know, I think this is working, this works, then I feel it's complete.
You know, the new work that I saw as I was looking, sort of like a preview, I guess, of the Lubeznik show coming up, you know, the white space that you're leaving around the paintings now, the border really helps to contain all that movement. And then that, in a sense, makes it even stronger than when it's leaving off the canvas, for me, at least personally. It just, I don't know. I just really, so when did you start leaving that border, that sort of white border around it? And what was your reason for doing it?
Are you talking about how I spaced them in an exhibit?
The actual painting.
Okay. I do paint to the end of the canvas also. I find that there's more focus when you have some border. It gives you like a resting place. And somehow I like doing that too. It depends how I feel. Lately, I have been doing what you're saying. I do leave borders. And I don't paint to the end. Sometimes you get more focus and more, it's stronger. It's a stronger painting if you're focusing on the painting.
I think so. There's like, because it, to me, it's like contained. I've just recently started, it's so interesting because I've just recently started doing that with my own work, leaving this white border around it. And I really like it because it is more, as you say, focused.
You know, Jenny, obviously this is a radio show, so we can't see your work, but describe, you know, as best you can, what people can expect if they'd see that. Of course, we'll give your website later and so they can view it, but describe like how you approach a piece, how you decide to do. You did a little bit of that, but what does it look like? What does your work look like in description?
Well, a couple of my favorite artists are, of course, Pollock fits in. Joan Mitchell and Hans Hofmann. Mm. And I think my work is sort of combinations of that. It's a lot of color. If they're going to see the exhibit at the Lubeznik, interestingly, I paint large, sometimes 40 by 40, sometimes 36 by 48. The work that's at the Lubeznik, the majority of the work are small works, which is interesting. I do have some large pieces there, but what they'll see are versions of my larger work. And I had an opportunity to participate in a small works challenge in Chicago. And I said to the curator, Sergio Gomez, he's at 33 Contemporary Gallery. Yeah. And I said to him, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, the way I paint, can I contain them in these 12 by 12 canvases or these 10 by 10? So Well, unbelievably, I'm able to do it, and I love it. And I think they're going to see that kind of work, what I do large, in these smaller canvases. I did bring, like I said, four larger pieces, so people, if they don't know me, they can see the larger pieces and how the larger pieces relate to the small ones.
So what is sort of the evolution of your work? Because the pieces that I viewed today seem to have more of your, it seems like there are finger marks in it and different, more symbology with the strokes than in the past work that I've seen. So this seems like to be, is this a new sort of phase with the extra cutting in and scraping out and removing as well as adding, it seems to me.
I do some scraping and I do some maneuvering around that. And I use a sharp little sort of knife kind of thing. It depends how I feel. If I feel it needs, sometimes I'll open up the canvas with a scratch and then it opens up a part of it. It just depends what I see. What paintings have you seen that I could,
I don't know. The ones with the white borders, they just seem more of
like lines.
Physical. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of that.
Yeah. It's very, very attractive.
Thank you. Larry, I think you asked me how I approach a painting.
Right.
Okay. What I do, number one, I do not work on an easel. I work on the floor. And I lay my canvases on the floor. And the reason I do that is because I like to stand over them and look at them from an aerial view rather than upright. It gives me a different dimension. And I do that with my large canvases. With my smaller ones and the little ones that I've done, those are on a table. And then I don't paint upright because I think you get more dimension and you just get more balance. For me, I'm talking for myself, more balance painting and looking down at the work. And that's how I paint.
Have you always done it that way?
Yes. Yes, always. Also, in order to get energized, I paint to music and I paint to the blues.
How appropriate.
I paint to Sun Seals. I paint to B.B. King. I paint to Everett Clapton.
Keith Scott.
Yeah, Keith Scott. Is he in that group?
Around.
Do you have Keith Scott playing?
Keith Scott.
And Keith Scott. In one of his albums I paint to. And now I get a lot of energy from the music. And I paint to the music. And a lot of times in my work, it has a lot of rhythm and motion. And it's coming from the music.
You're going to have an exhibit which opened last weekend. But what else are you looking forward to? I know you have exhibits, but is there something in your painting world that you want to try that's maybe different from what you're doing with your abstract work?
Oh, that's a good question. I do reverse paintings.
Explain that for your audience. So they
know reverse painting is painting on plexiglass on one side, and then it comes reverse on the other side. And the other side is what you use, and then it's like glass. And once you do reverse paintings, you can't change it. So you have to kind of know what you're doing. So I taught reverse painting at the Michigan City Art League. I've been teaching a class there every year for maybe a couple years. I teach that there. And other things that I do at Michigan City Art League, I've taught other kinds of things. But I've taught things with shredded paper. I've used shredded paper in my work, but I don't do too much of that. I pretty much do my thing. I do use sand. Sometimes I use glass.
Glitter? Glitter or little splatter things?
Glitter. I use glitter. Sometimes I do that. It depends how I feel. And if I feel it fits in the work, then I'll use it.
What are you looking forward to doing? Do you have any projects that you're, is it just kind of an inspiration? Like, I feel like painting this today, or is there anything that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
There might be, but I haven't thought of it. I did have an exciting thing last year that was really, I've done some commission work, but last year I got a commission from Woodland Cancer Center for two paintings. And they had a nice reception for me, and two paintings are hanging in their exam rooms. So I thought that was pretty cool. A nice after COVID thing, I guess you could call it.
While you brought up COVID, how did that influence you? Was it an inspirational period for you, or was it a shutdown period? Some artists deal with it in different ways. How did it help you or do for you?
I painted a little, but not as much as I usually did. And it kind of put a little stop to it. I lost some of my motivation at that time, but my motivation is back.
Very good. Now you have, we want to make sure that we get the exhibits. The exhibit you had at Lebesnik just opened last weekend, and that's running through. So tell us about that. And then you have another one coming up. So tell us about those, and then also.
Okay. The exhibit at the Lebesnik, just to tell you, opens Friday, September 2nd.
So you had a nice opening and everything. You have another one coming up in the Village. So tell us about that one.
I have a solo show coming up at the Village Gallery. And the opening is October 2nd. And I'll have, right now I have 16 paintings that on my inventory. I may add a couple more because it looks like they have the space. I may have to bring a couple more in. So it'll be about 16, 17 paintings.
And how long will that be on display?
That'll be the month of October through October 30th.
And will you have an opening reception there?
Yes. The opening is September, October 2nd.
Okay. And real quick, tell our audience about how they can find your work, like website, other social media, anything like that.
They can find my work. My website is jennyscott.com. It has not been really, really updated. I have not done that much, but they can get a feel for my work. And they can see my work at my shows. And I don't do social media.
And Jenny, we should say Jenny is GINNYSCOTT.
Yes.
And we'll have a link on her picture on our website. So Jenny Scott's exhibit at the Lebesnik Nipsco Gallery opens September 2nd, runs through the 26th. That was last weekend. And then we'll have the Village Gallery opening October 2nd. And again, JennyScott.com. You can find there. Thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Oh, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
This is Pledge Week for your public radio station. And Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge, so we may continue to bring you this great program. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
As she come from down in Florida, round Bitter Glade, I raised up on cornbread and sugar cane. She's my sugar cane baby. She's my sugar cane baby. She's that sugar cane baby, man, I want around me all the time. Well, that little girl's so fine, and then I tell you, when I get closer, just like candy, she's that sugar cane, baby. She's that sugar cane, mama. I love that sugar cane, baby, all the time. She's so sweet, a little girl fine, I got to have the sugar cane all the time. She's a sugar cane, baby. She's a sugar cane, mama. Sugar cane, baby, love my baby all the time. Let's do it up to sugarcane. Come on, sugarcane. Well, if I ever leave her, it's got myself to blame. I'm going down south to get me some sugarcane. She's a sugarcane, baby. She's a sugarcane, mama.
She's a sugar cane, baby, man, I love that girl all the time. I can't stand a babe to be away from my baby. They call her sugar cane. Well, she's a sugar cane, baby. She's a sugar cane, mama. She's that sugar cane, baby, man, I love that girl all the time. She's my baby, I tell the world so, I love the sugar cane all night long. She's a sugar cane, baby. She's a sugar cane, mama. Well, my sugar cane, baby, man, I love that girl all the time. Sugar cane, so sweet and candy. Whoa, man, living way down south, I'll talk about the sugar cane, baby. But she's that sugar cane mama, man, I think I love her all the time. We're gonna fade this one out, brother. She's a sugar cane. She's a sugar cane mama. She's that sugar cane. Let's walk her down, let's take her down. Sugar cane. Think I'll hitch a ride south to get her. Sugar cane. Well, that sugar cane, mama, man, I love that girl all the time.
We have been listening to Sugar Cane Mama by our Art on the Air guest, Keith Scott. Keith is one of Chicago's most dynamic blues artists. He has toured around the world with many blues greats for over 30 years now and has released 9 albums of his own. It all started in White Plains, New York, and being exposed to Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, and Grand Funk Railroad. I wonder if that was your mother introducing you to that. Then exploration of the creme de la creme of Chicago musicians, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Jimmy Reed, and many, many others. Keith then went on to play with many of the greats of post-war Chicago blues. Thank you, Keith, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome. It is so good to see you.
You're welcome. Nice to see you.
In years.
Years.
Well, Keith, it's so glad to have you. And of course, for everyone in our audience, just the previous interview, Jenny was his mother, the Keith's mother. So we have a great all Scott show today. So, well, like we like to talk about, we want to know your background, some of which Esther hit on, but we really want to know a little bit about you, your origin story before you get to the blues and everything. I know we want you to tell that. So how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
Oh, well, I just... Music-wise, I just listened to rock and roll growing up, and then discovered the blues in college in Gainesville, Florida, and made the switch over to, you know, searching out the roots of rock and roll.
So where were you when you first were exposed to the blues?
Gainesville, Florida.
I know, but what venue? Was it at school? Was it...
At a local club. I went to a jam session and somebody asked me to sit in, and then they asked me to join their band. And
so how long had you been playing guitar? When did you start playing guitar?
At about 14. So about 4 or 5 years I've been playing.
Okay. So any other earlier musical influences like music classes, listening, things like that?
Yeah, before you... I did study clarinet for a while in elementary school.
So that helped you learn to read music. Do you need that now, or is it just mostly ear playing that you
do? I don't need that now, but it probably helped. It was fun.
Very good.
I kind of wish I could still play it.
So was Jenny playing bass in the house when you were
piano.
Young?
She was a piano player back then.
Was there any early teachers along the way that maybe helped you?
I had a couple really good teachers. Jack Connell was one, but it really helped out.
So what was your blues journey then from Florida? So what did you, so you went to that first club, and then what happened?
And then I joined a local blues band with a sax player, and then we all moved to Chicago.
What was the name of that band?
Robert Hunter Blues Band, the blind sax player.
Wow.
So did the whole band move to Chicago?
Yeah, the whole band.
So what are some of the venues you played in Chicago?
Well, we moved to Chicago. We played the Checkerboard, Pepper's Lounge, Piano Man Bar, Teresa's, McClenda's. I can't think of another one. But yeah. Those.
So what was that? What was that life like? Your Chicago life at the time. So were you playing all the time, or?
It was living in a small apartment with some people and just going out to these late night clubs and staying out late and playing all night. It was pretty cool.
One of the influences in your life was Muddy Waters, and you had a chance to meet them. Why don't you describe that? You know, not only the influence, but, you know, actually meeting someone that's so preeminent in the blues, Chicago style blues.
It's kind of like, how did you get from listening to the blues in that first club in?
Well, I got invited to sit to his concert by my friend who was playing with him, and who had opened up for him, and then they invited me backstage to meet him. So.
So how was that experience? How was he to you? Yeah. You know, yeah, describe that. You know, just not, I think our audience would love to hear that.
Well, he was a real gentleman. That's all I can say. And he was really cordial and kind of influenced me to continue on. And then later on, I ended up being friends with all his bandmates. And of course, he died, you know, but.
Right.
But I got to stay friendly with all the people that were in his band at that time.
So were they able to, I mean, so like in a lot of fields, everybody helps everybody find the next step in their career. So how did meeting and getting to know Muddy Waters Band, how did you see a progression?
They just helped me by, you know, being there when I was playing and being part of what I was doing. I mean, or, you know, working with me.
Right.
It was all like, you know, it was business because we were playing, everybody's getting paid, but I got to play with a lot of the people in his band. They were just working like I was at that time.
Now in Florida, you also met Bo Diddley. So influences from him, how did that work out?
Well, same thing. Same friend introduced me to him, and I used to spend a lot of time at his ranch and got to hang out and play with him a lot. So I got closer to him.
So would you say you picked up their musical influences before, and how did that develop your own style?
Well, they were just my heroes, so I just kind of try to study like what they were doing, you know.
So now, you know, so here you're in the backyard. You're in the backyard with everybody. Are you jamming with them?
I did jam with all of them. Yeah, not Muddy, but Bo Diddley a lot. You know, same thing. They were very cordial and, you know, friendly, and yeah, I felt welcome. So,
well, you've been busy recording. You have what is it, 7 or 9 solo CDs? Is that correct? So, tell us a little about the progression of those. They started what in early 2000, all the way up to I think 2017 or 18. So, tell us a little about those albums, the progression, maybe of your music over that time.
I know that's a lot of writing and composing. 9 albums is very impressive.
Yeah, just putting ideas down and then putting them down on tape or recording them and writing the lyrics down. And
so who's your band now?
Right now I'm just doing solo stuff. So,
and so I remember you played down Halsted Street too, the House of Blues and Blues.
Oh yeah. I play House of Blues still. Was just there a few weeks ago.
And I remember you telling the story of Robert Plant being in the audience. So you've kind of come full circle with that first.
That was, you know, that's when I was with the Jimmy Dawkins band, and he came into the club and watched our show.
It's been fabulous.
So where are some of the venues you're playing? You're in the, obviously for this interview, you're in the Chicago area, or actually Northwest Indiana.
Three Oaks at the Dewey Cannon Saturday.
Now that was the Saturday.
Last Saturday,
yeah. Labor Day weekend. Yeah. Okay. And, what other gigs do you have coming up then since that one?
Well, I'm going to Ireland to play a blues festival next week. So.
Oh, my gosh.
You did a lot of traveling in Europe with on tour. So what were those experiences?
Well, this is my first kind of big trips post-COVID. And I just went to Alaska, which was great.
Oh. You know, somehow I don't associate Alaska with the blues, but I guess maybe
I'm the only person that's ever gone there.
So, okay. And, you know, you're based in Michigan now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. Yeah.
Okay. And but you're still traveling. And give us an example of your tour schedule.
Well, I've been working. I'm working mostly in like Michigan, and you know, bouncing between Chicago and Michigan. And then I'm go out to Montana in the fall,
right?
As well. I just work the circuit from Grand Rapids north and then back down to Chicago.
Sure.
So when you're traveling through Europe, is it one stop after another, or do you get a chance to explore whatever city or country you're in?
And well, this one will be back to back, so I don't have to do too much travel.
Very good. Well, you know, I think our audience would love to hear an example of your music, and maybe you can set that up for us. This is off the Flat Creek Blues album called Love and Money. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration of the song, and we'll take a listen to it.
You know, I just one day just jotted down those lyrics, and it's a Chicago 12-bar kind of just a straight-ahead shuffle type of song. So,
very good. Well, we'll go ahead and take a listen to that right now. This is Love and Money from the Flat Creek Blues album with Keith Scott.
Look like an angel, baby. Oh, it's hard to leave you alone. Look like an angel. Oh, you leave the hard to leave you alone, y'all. The world prom, baby. Man, I think I go back home. If I talk to you, baby, Chad wouldn't want me. If I talked to you, Chad wouldn't want me. Be nice for a while, baby, and let your daddy be. Start something there. Little girl, I just don't want to know you there. I don't want to start something. Little girl, I just don't want to know your name. Yeah, I came with love and money, Lord child, it just don't seem to be my thing.
That was Love and Money, Flat Creek Blues album, with our guest Keith Scott today on our show. So that was, what year was that released?
That would have been, oh, that's 2013 or 14, I think.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Are you working on any new material right now? Are you with your tour schedule? I mean,
right now I'm in the middle of doing a studio, couple studio projects.
Do you have your own? Do you use 18, your own studio, 20, or do you go to a studio?
18-20 tracks I got
okay.
coming up.
And do you work with a specific studio, or do you have a home studio?
Yeah, I work in Chicago at Gravity Studios. Mostly.
Okay, excellent.
So this one that you're working on, is it again all your work, or?
Oh yeah, I only record my work. So there's no sense covering any other stuff. So
yeah. So how? What is your writing process like? How much time do you, kind of run us through what happens? Like you said, this.
Well, a lot of times when I'm playing.
Came to you.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm just playing a gig and I have an idea and I just take out my phone and record it. That's pretty much it. I don't sit all day and write. I just kind of do it on the fly.
Okay. And, yeah. And then you take that to the studio. Do you have a, well, a lot of stuff you're just doing by yourself, but do you have any studio musicians that you regularly work with or?
Oh yeah. I've played with some people in Chicago, Johnny B. Gayden, and it's a great bass player. And I've some other drummers I know, Matt Walker. And
so do you have any, do you have any behind the scenes stories that our audiences can enjoy? Things that happened on the road or just, you know, experiences that you've had that were enriching?
Well, some of the blues band leaders were kind of hard on me a few times.
What do you mean by that, though? It's
like one of them choked me once.
Oh, no.
What preceded that? So that's a story.
The name, but yeah.
That's very bluesy. That could be an inspiration for some
it's
music.
It's not
there.
All fun. Let's put it that way. It's actually like hard work, you know. When you're working, that's why I work by myself now.
Yes.
Or if we got a little trio gig around town here and Jenny can play with me. I like work, you know, working for, it's kind of like working a job when you're working with the blues people.
Ah, you know? Got it.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Well, you know, we want to take a listen to another song that we have. It's called Mean Mistreater. Yeah.
Mean Mistreater.
And that's off your World Blues album. So tell us about the setup to that, and we'll take a listen to it.
Yeah, that's just another 12-bar acoustic and just simple lyrics and just fun and easy.
Okay. Well, here it is. Mean Mistreater from the World Blues album, Keith Scott.
Can't stand your low down way. You a mean mistreater. But to you it just don't mean a thing. I gave you all my loving, baby, but to you it just don't mean a thing. Make your mind up, baby, and please, mama, stop worrying, hear me. Treat me mama all the time. Come on, baby. Gonna ease me worried mind. I try to please you, baby. Do the things, mama, that is right.
try to please you, baby. Do the things that is right. You took everything I got, mama. You know you walk in the back streets at night. You a mean, mistreated woman. Here we go now. You a mean, mistreated. Use that mean mistreater, baby. But I gotta have you in my life. One more time. You a mean mistreater. You a mean mistreater. You a mean mistreater.
With Keith Scott from his World Blues album, Mean Mistreater, from that album. So very interesting.
Yes, cool stuff, yeah.
So your future projects, you know, you're doing mostly kind of, it seems like, solo work. Are you ever interested in getting back into having a band?
You know, I like kind of like doing what I'm doing and then using a band if the shows come up, you know, that they're putting a band together for me in Ireland, so.
Wow.
I'll use the band there. Yeah.
When I was at the concert, you have such a full, rich sound all on your own. And you have the whole audience just up on their feet and happy. And it's like a great experience to be at one of your concerts.
Yeah, if I'm correct, that was March 17th or 18th, 2019, somewhere in there, right?
Wow. It was pre-COVID for sure.
Right. It was a good night.
Yeah.
Fabulous, fabulous evening.
And somehow I just don't envision Ireland as a blues place. You know, somehow in the just maybe, you know, it seems like that's going to be a world music type place. But I guess blues and world music sometimes are kind of crossed over.
Yeah, that wherever there's not a lot of blues, they appreciate the blues.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So I think that.
How much time do you get in Ireland?
The blues is the soul.
9 days, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. So how much of that is playing and how much of that is just exploring?
6 or 7 days playing, a couple days off to do some fun stuff.
Jenny going with you?
No, she's not going. Yeah. She's with the dogs.
Oh, well.
The dogs don't let you go anywhere.
Can't do anything if you have animals like that unless you have someone to take care of them. So.
Yeah, they're a lot of work, you know.
How did Ireland get arranged? Is it like, are you also playing, so is it a festival and then there'll be smaller venues?
Yeah, festivals and then smaller workshops and stuff like that too. Yeah.
Any master classes?
Yeah, there'll be a master class.
Excellent.
Probably a master class of... Bushmills. Good time there. So it's my second time. Yeah.
Tell us about the instrument that you have or instruments that you use. Do you use just one or do you have several that you choose?
Well, I got guitars. I play harmonica now too.
Okay.
So I got lots of guitars. Acoustic, electric, 6-string, 12-strings, banjo.
Ooh, banjo. There you go. A drum with strings.
I want to learn mandolin if I ever get around to it.
Oh, yeah. So how many guitars are you taking to Ireland?
Well, they're providing me everything, so buying all the music.
But is that difficult? You know, you're used to your own instrument, going there and, you know, playing on something else that you may not be, you know, quite in tune with.
No, it's not difficult at all for me. Yeah.
So
like driving a car.
Yeah, no, they're all the same to me. None of them are too special.
Well, we want to wrap it up here. So tell us about one more time. You just had your concert in Three Oaks. What's coming up in your quick schedule?
Yeah, that was great.
So but what do you have coming up down the road here? Next concerts that people can catch you?
And how can people?
The Michigan City Public Library, Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
That's perfect, yeah.
And how can people find your music online?
Just at my website, Keith Scott Blues.
Keith Scott Blues.
Or at Amazon. They can find it on Amazon.
And it's on, and you can listen on Spotify, too.
Yeah, Spotify all over the place.
Make sure you add that.
I usually get a couple dollars every few months. So.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
Well, Keith, Keith Scott, blues musician, and you can hear him around the area. Go to his website at KeithScottBlues.com. You can file his tour schedule and go to Spotify and or Apple Music or Amazon Music and you hear his music. Keith, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
You got it. Thank you
so much, Keith.
Bye, Esther.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website. As a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts, give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.